Let us now turn to the Word of God, and I would like if we could talk a little bit about a question. The question is, what is the way of salvation? What is the way of salvation? And on the basis of this text, let us reason together, and let's see that this expert in the law, how did he think about the way of salvation, and so on. And let's see what is the true way of salvation. As you read, you realize that there are several questions in this passage. I would like to bring out three questions. I know that there are at least four, but the fourth one is very similar to the third one, just put a little bit differently, it's twisted. When the man asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus then asked him, who was the neighbor of that man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Well, so they are very similar. So the first question is that I would like to deal with this morning regarding what is the way of salvation is this. This man asked as he approached Jesus to test him. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The first question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This question is a very important question. I think that there is no more important question than this. Whatever question you have about your health or job or family, the most important is to get right about the way of salvation, how you get to heaven. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, this life is important, yes, but there is an eternal life. This question shows you that a man who is expert in the law believes in eternal life. So there is eternal life. There is something beyond death. If you don't believe that, you are not expert in the law. Because the law of God says that there is life after death. So you should rather get right with your theology then. This also tells us that something must happen to inherit eternal life. What must I do? It is possible to inherit it. There is a way to inherit that. And he hopes to do that. But something must happen. So that's the question. What is the way of salvation? This is the first question. How good it is for us to know that this life is not over. There is eternal life beyond that. And how good it is to know that it is possible to inherit it. We have to find out what we must do to inherit that. You see, this man approached Jesus to test him. His intentions were not right. He wanted to put to test this rabbi from Nazareth. Does he know the answer? He is an expert in the law. He knows very well the law. So let's see. He didn't study the Word of God. How does he know it? In other places of the Scripture, we just read that. People were asking, how does he know the Scripture? Because he didn't study it. Well, he was only 12 years old and already were asking questions from the experts of the law in the temple, didn't he? Well, he's the lawgiver. He surely knows what is the law. But you see, today there are many people who are testing Jesus or those who are following him with many different tricky questions. I was going to Brasov to one of my brothers in Romania once on the train, and I was asked by somebody, I was tested, you see. He asked me, can God create such a big earth that he cannot lift it up? Well, I didn't see the the test in that question. I said, God is omnipotent. He can create very big. Well, then he said, he's not omnipotent. He cannot lift it up then. Well, I was not a very clever man to say it in that time, to tell him that, well, that's not a good question. I don't claim that I can answer any question even today. I could answer him now. You are testing things and people. But whatever you do, even if you are testing Jesus, let me tell you, even if your intentions are wrong, Jesus will take you seriously. Jesus will take you seriously, and he will answer your questions better than anybody else, either than me or anybody else. He will answer your questions. So his answer is another question. So let's turn to the second question. Jesus replies with a question. He is asking him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? You are an expert in the law. So how do you read it? You see, Jesus is directing him back to the law of Moses. In one sense, now Jesus is testing him. Do you know it? But Jesus' intentions are different. You know, God never tempts people. He may test them, as he tested Abraham. But his intention is not to bring them to sin, but to bring out his obedience and his faithfulness or his knowledge. And then if he knows it, here it is, do this and you will live. That's my answer then. So Jesus is asking him to go to the Bible. How good it is that we have Bibles. I remember one of my brothers in 1975 received a Bible from Switzerland as a present. In those days, it was very hard to find Bibles in Romania. It was so much treasured. People in our family were reading that one Bible. How it is written. Whatever question you have in this life, the best way always to ask, what does the Bible say? You see what Jesus is doing? He's directing him back to the Bible. But this is utterly important when you are asking about the way of salvation. What does the Bible say? That's the most important question. And now you have the Bible. And it is good that it is revealed to us. We just heard about Revelation. God as a revealer. It is revealed in it. Searching for the way of salvation, when Jesus asked him, how does the Bible say that what we must do to inherit eternal life, this man replied, the first commandment, the greatest commandment, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second greatest commandment, and your neighbor as yourself. He knew the law. He was an expert in the law. And then Jesus said, well, do this and you will live. Is anybody here today in whose heart there is a question about the way of salvation? Is anybody today here who is asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? If this is your question, this is your answer. If you want to do something to inherit eternal life, you must love God, your Lord, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. Several times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament we read, do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. But this man comes up with the third question in the text. He is asking, but who is my neighbor? He wants to justify himself. He told Jesus, I must love my neighbor as myself. But who is my neighbor? It's interesting because in our language, neighbor is felebarat. Felebarat in English would be translated literally half friend. So when I was working as an oil worker on an oil field in Romania, and I was giving my testimony to somebody there, and I was telling them that you must love your neighbor, your half friend, as yourself. So he said, yes, half his friend, half not. Of course, he was misinterpreting the word of God. I'm pleased in English, not like that. But this man, this expert in the law, still thinking the same way. Well, somebody's friend, but maybe somebody's not. Somebody's my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Anyway, surely not everybody. Surely not with whom I am crossed with. Who is my enemy? And to answer his question that who is his neighbor, Jesus, in reply to his question, tells a story. So the whole story of the merciful Samaritan or the good Samaritan is a reply. It's not just a story in itself. It's a very nice story. We all know it, I hope. But that is a reply to a question. The question is, who is my neighbor? In reply to that, here is a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was going down. Jerusalem was built on a hill. Jericho was down even lower than the sea level. And as he was going down, he fell into the hands of robbers. These robbers stripped him of his clothes. He beat him up and he left him there, half dead, in the dust. And it happened that a man was coming, a priest from Jerusalem. What was doing this priest in Jerusalem? Well, he was serving God, isn't he? He loved God with all his heart and mind and soul and strength, sacrificing the sacrifices of sinners that they brought to Jerusalem in the temple and preaching the gospel there. Telling what is the law of God. You must love God with all your heart, all your mind and strength and so on. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he's coming down from Jerusalem and here it is. The very man who was preaching this in the temple, he can put it into practice now. Can he? Will he? No. When he saw this man, he passed by on the other side. And his own helper, the Levite, is coming. You would expect that this man, ministers of the word of God, would help him. No, he also passed on the other side. And then came, it says, a Samaritan. Who was he? Well, the Samaritans in Israel were people who didn't keep centuries ago the law of God in such a way as to keep their marriages pure. The Lord told Israel, you should not marry with foreigners. But these Jews married with Gentiles. And so we know that the Samaritans came about. So they were highly rejected by the Jews because they are unfaithful to God. They didn't keep his commandments. And so on. And there are other things as well. When people from Galilee went to Jerusalem, down to south, to worship God in the temple, they had to go through Samaria. But because they hated so much the Samaritans, many times they crossed over Jordan, not to go through Samaria. The disciples of Jesus, the apostles, before Pentecost, they still so much hated Samaritans. Then when the Samaritans didn't accept Jesus and his disciples in one night to give them rest, they were not better, surely. These apostles were asking Jesus, shall we ask God to bring down fire from heaven upon these Samaritans? They should perish. We hate them. And now, here is a Jew. He is surely a Jew down there. And the Samaritan is coming, whom he hates. If he could, he would murder him. And the Samaritan is coming. And he also knows that those Jews probably is hating him. And he also hates him. So what to do with him? Shall I cross on the other side, leave him there to die? Shall I go there and just to trample on him and I should kill him at last? And now he's half dead. Let completely be dead. Because he is my enemy. He hates me. He doesn't like me. But this Samaritan is merciful. When he looked at him, he had compassion upon his enemy who hates him. And he stopped and he poured wine and oil into his wounds, put it up on his donkey. He was walking along, I don't know how long, and he went to the innkeeper. He took care of him. He spent time on him. And then he paid to this innkeeper 2 silver coins. And he said, take care of him. And if you have extra expenses, I will repay you. Take care of him. He may have been asked by this innkeeper, who is this man to you? Is he your relative? No, this is my enemy. Can you realize what are Jesus getting to? Answering the question, who is my neighbor? Because this story is a reply to that question. And he is just asking him, now, who do you think was his neighbor of these 3 people? This expert in the law so much hates Samaritans, he does not even pronounce his name. He doesn't say the Samaritan. He says the one who helped him. You see? Go and do likewise. We don't know the outcome of the story. Did he go and he loved Samaritans, his enemies? Do you know the way of salvation? What is the way of salvation? If your question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, here is in the Word of God. You love your God with all your heart and mind and strength. yes, and soul. And your neighbor, who may be even your enemy, maybe your neighbor, maybe your relative, maybe your fellow worker or fellow student, or I don't know, anybody who comes into your way and is needed to be helped, even if he was your enemy. If you will not do this, you will not inherit eternal life. You will lose eternal life and your salvation. This is what you must do to inherit eternal life. Unless we love God with all our minds, you should never think about bad things. You should never think about, well, any wickedness. Anything that is wrong. That's what it means to love your God with all your mind. But always to think about the law of God and to desire it. Your whole desire, your heart desire and will, everything, your input, your energy should be the service of God. Who is like that? But there is no other way to do things. From your side. Well, what is the way of salvation? You see, in this story, there are three characters that before I close, I want to bring out. Three types of characters. There are more people, but three types of characters. One is that man, maybe more people were there, who were the robbers, who robbed this man. There are those, the priest and the Levite, who passed by this man. There is this man down there who is stripped of his clothes, of his values, beaten up, left there half dead. Now, this expert in the law thinks, like many people today, that in order to get to heaven and to get salvation, the only thing that I must know is to be informed about the law of God. If somebody will tell me, he thinks, what is the way of salvation, that's enough. I will follow it. What must I do? I am a clever gentleman. You just tell me, and I will do it. And all the religions of this world, except Christianity, are built upon this philosophy. You are told, and you will do, and you will get it. And it's all wrong. Do you know why? Not because of the law of God is wrong, that is perfect and pure and holy, but because we are wrong. And you cannot do it, even if you are told to do it. The way of salvation is utterly different, completely different. You are not a man whom you have to be told only that what is the way of salvation, and you will do it. You will love your God wholeheartedly, and your neighbor as yourself. No, we are hating God, and we are disobeying Him, and we are hating each other. Unfortunately, that's our way. You are not like this expert in the law. You just have to be told. Many times we are either against men, like the robbers, or we are either just next to men, like the Levite and the priest, but not helping him. And only one in this world is who is for men, neither against nor next, but for us, Jesus. And you are
in the very situation of that man who is down there in the dust, half dead. You are not an expert in the law as you would think, in such a way that you are able to do. You are depraved. Totally depraved. Your mind, your soul, your heart, your strength, wrong direction. Do you realize that you are stripped of your of joy, of peace, of eternal life, of Eden, of God, because of your sin? Do you realize that there is nobody to help you? And the question is not, what must I do to inherit eternal life, but will anybody else do something that I may live? What can that man do to inherit life and to live? He's dying. We are dead in our souls and we are dying in our bodies. Half dead already. And the question is not that what must I do, what must Jesus do? But that's the wrong question too. He is not in under compulsion to do something to save us, is he? There is no must on the side of Jesus to save us. We must obey it, but we disobeyed. And we are now depraved. And unless he will be merciful and good, you will perish and die. But the good news is that the way of salvation is now, is that Jesus is the way of salvation. He comes and he saves. He takes pity on us. Who is thinking this morning about the way of salvation? Will you realize now that you are not in a position to save yourself and to obey God's laws? I admit that I tried it for years. I tried to be accepted before God obeying the commandments. People were praising me as a young man because of my religious life. And in my heart, I always had unrest, and I was having no peace. I knew that that was not enough. In Krasna, I was visiting a lady, a single lady who had a brother, and she was a Christian and he was not. And I tried to witness to him as well, and this man said, I can give up drinking, I can give up smoking whenever I want. I can give up blaspheming God. Well, I said, you see, in the Bible, there are two ways exposed to us as the way of salvation. One is by the law, that is impossible for us, so that is closed. The other is by grace in Jesus. He saves us. He said, no, I can keep the law. So I said, let's try it. I will come back 2 weeks later to visit you again, and you should not smoke, drink, and blaspheme God for 2 weeks. Will you do that? Yes, he said. I went back 2 weeks later and asked him, Ferenc, did you keep the law of God? What do you think? Of course not. He accepted it. He admitted it. You can't. He is not saved yet. His sister is, and praying for him. Will you now humble yourself, acknowledging that your way of salvation, your thinking, is not what God puts forward in Jesus? The whole law is just to bring you to the realization that you are unable to obey it and to bring you to Christ, that he will save you then. I hope that this morning, and I invite you, come to Jesus. He is here to help you, to forgive you, to accept you, to build you up, to restore you completely. and you will have really eternal life. You will be part of his family, and you will inherit it. Only children are entitled to have inheritance. You cannot inherit eternal life unless you are in God's family. God will give it to his family. Come and trust Jesus, and he will save you, and you will be with me and with us in heaven forever. May God help us to follow this. Amen.